Resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a fundamental doctrine. And by that I simply mean it is a doctrine absolutely necessary, absolutely essential for salvation. We cannot be saved unless we believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. There are other doctrines in the Bible that are not fundamental in that sense. And we could list those other doctrines. But the resurrection is fundamental. We cannot be saved unless we believe not only that Jesus died for our sins upon the cross, but also on the third day that he rose again and he lives forever in the power of an endless life. It is absolutely essential, and therefore all four gospel writers bear testimony to this great event. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They record the details of what took place on that first Lord's Day, that resurrection day. Now, when you turn over the pages of those gospel accounts, you'll discover that no one gospel gives us the entire picture. It's only when you take all four and study them carefully that you'll begin to see the events that unfolded on that wonderful day. And I want just very briefly to bring all the facts, all the details together and set before you exactly what happened. And we can say in the first place that on that morning, very early in the morning, before the rising of the sun, a group of at least five women made their way early to the sepulchre, to the tomb, to the place where the Lord's body had been laid. They had prepared spices and ointment to anoint the body. But as they walked, they talked among themselves as to how they would remove the stone set in place by Pilate's authority. Five women. Now, not all four gospel writers give us the whole list. We read here of Mary Magdalene. The other gospel writers tell us of Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and also Joanna, besides other unnamed women. And therefore we can say that there were at least five women making their way to the tomb. And they're talking among themselves. They know that the command was issued for the tomb to be sealed with a great stone. And they're asking among themselves, how are we going to get in? How are we going to get this stone removed in order that we might anoint his body? But their problem dissolved when they arrived in the garden, because they saw that the stone had already been removed and the body of the Lord Jesus was gone. And all four gospel writers bear testimony to that fact. The stone had been rolled away and the body of the Lord Jesus was absent. Now at that point, Mary Magdalene left the company and she ran to tell Peter of what they had found. I emphasize there in verse number 2, when she came to Peter, she said, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we," that's this company of five women, at least five women, "and we know not where they have led him." She has gone with the news to Peter. Now, the women who were with her remained at the tomb. And they were met by two angels announcing to them the news that the Lord had risen. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. And with that news, those other women left the tomb and they went to tell the other disciples. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all bear testimony to the other women going back with the news that Jesus was risen from the dead. But in between time, Mary had found Peter and John, and she told them what they had seen, what they had experienced. They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. Now, she's not telling Peter and John about the angels, because she hasn't experienced the angels at this point. She hasn't heard the message that he's risen from the dead. All that she knows is that the stone has been rolled back and the body is absent. And she says to Peter and John, they've taken away the Lord and we don't know where they have led him. As soon as Peter and John hear the news, they immediately run to the tomb and they find it as Mary had said. That's recorded in Luke's account and here in John's Gospel. Those two disciples left, leaving Mary by herself, at which point the Lord makes his first appearance after rising from the dead. And John gives us the detail. He gives us the detailed account of that experience. This is the first time that the Lord appears to someone after he has risen. But if you turn to Mark's Gospel, I know that I have been referring back and forth to the four Gospels without looking them up, but I want you to notice this. John gives the detail of it. It's not mentioned by either Matthew or Luke, but here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 9, you'll notice these words. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So Mark is emphatic. There is no doubt here. The first appearance of the risen Lord was to Mary Magdalene. And she becomes the first eyewitness of the risen Savior. And that's remarkable. Because in Jewish society at that time, not much weight, not much significance was placed upon a woman's testimony. And yet the Lord of glory chose to reveal himself first to this woman, Mary Magdalene. And that ought to arrest our attention, I believe. And it ought to raise within our hearts and minds the inquiry, why did the Lord choose to appear to Mary first? I think we can answer that question by saying that the Lord, without any fear of dispute or controversy, the Lord is emphasizing that he honors those who seek after him. Mary is described as one who was seeking the Lord here in John chapter 20 and verse 15. The Lord refers to her as a seeker. He says, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And he's identifying now that this is a woman who was seeking him. And by choosing to reveal himself first to Mary, he is emphasizing the truth that he honors those who seek after him. She sought the Lord, and she found him. And just for a few moments today, I want to consider how she found the Lord. How did she find the Lord? The Lord chose to reveal himself to Mary because she was seeking after him. And how did she find him? Well, let me suggest in the first place that she found the Lord out of an earnest desire to do so. Mary is a woman especially honored by being the first person to see the risen Lord. And that privilege was given to her because of an earnest desire and an earnest, heartfelt devotion that she had for him. Turn back to chapter 19 of John's Gospel and verse 25. And this verse brings us to the setting of the Lord's suffering, the time of his agony upon the cross. And John says in verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." And can you picture the scene now as the Lord is upon the cross in the depths of his agony, surrounded and enveloped by darkness? Mary Magdalene is standing, watching all the time. She's watching her Lord as he suffers upon the tree. And then if you turn to Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 61, Matthew tells us, Matthew 27 and verse 61, when the Lord died, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came, and they took down the body of the Lord. They laid it in the tomb of Joseph. In verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Do you see her standing at the foot of the cross during the whole period of the Lord's suffering? And now when his body is tenderly taken down from the cross and laid in that new tomb, she is standing outside the sepulchre. She's still there. If you look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And now she's coming back to the sepulchre. And when you bring all these verses together, what are they telling us? What are they teaching us concerning Mary? She is a woman devoted to her Lord and Master, who desired earnestly to be where he was. And the Lord honored her. Her desire was strong. She wasn't content with anything less. She seems totally unawed by the presence of the two angels that appeared to her, because it wasn't the angels that she was longing for. She wanted nothing less but to show her affection and her love for her Lord and her Savior. Her desire was determined, but it could not be deterred. And when she found the tomb empty and the body gone, she inquires, "Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Stop and think about that. Verse 15 of John 20, thinking the Lord was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast led him, and I will take him away." Would it have been possible for that woman to have carried the body of the Lord Jesus by herself? And yet she is so determined, so strong is her desire, so strong and deep is her affection. She cannot bear to have him or to think of him in the presence of those who have no love for him. She says, "I will take him away. I will carry his body." You can see her determination. You can see her desire. And she will not rest and she will not be content until she finds him. I tell you today that that desire the Lord delights to honor. Such desire will not be disappointed. And when we have that desire to seek after and find the Lord, then we will not be disappointed. What is our reason for coming to the Lord's house? Is it to find the Lord? To seek after Him? If that desire is in our hearts today, then the Lord will surely honor that desire as He did in the case of Mary. She found Him out of a determined desire to seek after Him and find Him. But you'll notice, secondly, that she found the Lord after a time of waiting. Look again in John's account, verse 10. The disciples went away again onto their own home. This is when Peter and John have come to the sepulchre and they've found the body missing. They have observed the grave clothes and the napkin lying neatly wrapped up. And then they depart. Verse 11 says, But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And Peter and John leave and go home. Mary continues to stand outside the tomb. John saw and he believed that the Lord was risen, but he did not wait. He went on with Peter. But Mary is waiting. And while she waits, eventually, the Lord revealed Himself to her. And we will only find the Lord when we wait patiently for Him. You remember the psalmist in Psalm 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And at length to me He did incline my voice and cry to hear. Oh, here's the example of that. Here's the illustration of that. Mary found the Lord because she earnestly sought Him, but she waited patiently for Him. She's waiting. And perhaps a believer among us today is in a circumstance, a situation, and you would say, I desperately need the Lord. And maybe like Job, you feel, I go forward, but I can't find Him. I go behind, but I can't find Him. To the right, to the left, but He's not there. I do not sense His presence. What do you do in that setting? You just keep on waiting. Wait patiently. There's Mary, and she's waiting. And the Lord chose to honor her waiting by revealing Himself to her. But notice something else here. She not only found the Lord out of an earnest desire to do so, she not only found the Lord after waiting patiently, but she found the Lord not as she thought she would find Him. Others who came to the tomb that morning were expecting to find the dead body of their Savior, and Mary was one of them. And when she found the tomb empty, she thought someone had taken her Lord away and laid Him in another location. And now when the Lord stands beside her, look at verse number 15. She thought He was the gardener. She supposing Him to be the gardener. If ever there was an example needed for the unreliability and the snare of leaning on our own understanding, then this surely is that example. And how easy it is to limit the Lord to the confines of our reason and our understanding. She did not find the Lord as she thought. She thought He was dead when in fact he was living. It's a reminder that we must not judge the Lord by feeble sense, for feeble sense is sure to err. Our understanding is a most unreliable guide. Mary actually thought that this man who she was now speaking to was an enemy. She says, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast led him, and I will take him away." She thought he was the person responsible for removing the body. And therefore, in her mind, she's viewing the Lord as an enemy. Now, we should not be too harsh in judging Mary. Have we not acted likewise? Have there not been times when the Lord has come to us in the pathway of life and in the circumstances of time, and we have judged him to be altogether the opposite to what he is? And sometimes the Lord comes to us by way of thorns, and we reason that the thorns are an enemy. But the Lord says, "I have ordained those thorns so that you might prove that my grace is sufficient, and that you might find my strength to be made perfect in your weakness." And sometimes the Lord comes to us by way of the furnace, and we think that that furnace and the fire of that furnace is a foe. But it's in the furnace that we find our Lord. And he says, "I have come to refine thy gold and consume thy dross. I have come to purify your heart." What Mary thought to be her foe, she found to be her greatest friend. She did not find him as she thought or as she expected. And therefore the Lord was teaching her what Solomon had written many years previous: "Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." But let me add something else. She found her Lord in spite of her misguided tendency. Her tendency here was to look in the place where her Lord was not. Look at verse 11. "Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." But she's looking in a place where he was not. He wasn't there. But the emphasis is on her looking. Again in verse 14. "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus." And that indicates that she's looking in the opposite direction to where he really was. And when she turns to the Lord in verse 14, she turns back again to look into the tomb. Verse number 16, "Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself." Do you see that? So here is the Lord standing behind Mary. She's looking into the tomb where he is not. And the Lord speaks, and she turns about to look at him. And then she turns back round again, and she's looking into the tomb, the place where he is not. And she has to turn around. Do you see a tendency here? Her tendency was to seek in a place, search in a place where the Lord was no longer. Unregenerate man has the same tendency to search for Christ where he will not find him. Unregenerate man searches for Christ in the law, but you'll not find Christ in the law, in the works of the law. Unregenerate man searches for Christ in his own heart, but he'll never find Christ in his own heart. That's the tendency of the heart of man. And even after we come to know the Lord and to trust Him as our own Savior, we still are troubled with this tendency to search for the Lord in the place where we will not find Him, in the place where He is not. But although we see the tendency of Mary, do we not recognize the tenderness of Christ? Because He didn't leave her, even though she had this repeated tendency to look in the opposite direction. And He didn't give up on her. The Lord just waited. And how tenderly and how graciously the Lord deals with His people. Even when we turn from Him. Even when we're searching for Him in the opposite direction. How tender the Lord is. But you'll notice finally that she found Him in His word to her. Look at verse 16. The conversation has already commenced at this stage. The Lord says, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Mary responds, "Sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast led Him, and I will take Him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and saith unto Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." It was only when the Lord spoke to her personally, calling her by her name, that she found Him, that she knew Him, that she recognized, "This is my Lord. This is my Savior." The Lord at first spoke in a general way. Verse 15, He refers to her as woman. But it's only when He calls her by her name, when He says, "Mary," that suddenly the blindfold is removed. And she realizes, "This is the one who I was seeking. This is the one who I thought was dead. This is the one whose body I thought had been carried away to a secret location, perhaps never to be found again." And now she realizes, "This is Him. This is the one who I watched suffer upon the cross to bleed and die for my sin." And when the Lord speaks to her by name, it is then that she is brought into this personal knowledge, and she knows Him. It wasn't what she saw. It was what she heard. And that's the essence of spiritual life. That's the essence of a true spiritual relationship with the Lord of glory. We do not live by sight, but by faith. And Paul said that faith comes by hearing the word of God. We're only brought to know the Lord, and we're only enabled to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord by and through His word. I went for a walk yesterday morning on the Antrim coastline to the Sail of Braes. It's a lovely spot. And you get up to the top of the cliff line, and the sea mist was rolling in off the sea. It was so thick. Now, it was down in the amphitheater part. And I watched as the mist came right in, right up to the horseshoe top of the cliff. And it just blotted everything out. And I was surrounded by the sea mist. And I just sat down. And then I heard what I had been missing. Because up until that point, I was taking in all the sights. But only when the mist blotted out those sights, I realized the birds were singing as loud as they could sing, the sheep bleating, the cattle down in that amphitheatre below, and suddenly that whole place was filled with sound. And I thought to myself, sometimes the Lord has to bring in the mists that blur our sight and our vision in order that we might hear His voice. Because it's only in the hearing of His word that we will find Him and we will know Him. The Lord first appeared to Mary, and she found Him because she was seeking earnestly after Him. Are you seeking after the Lord today? Is there someone in this gathering not saved, not a Christian? But you're seeking. Mary was seeking, and she found the Lord. Perhaps a believer in a trying circumstance of life, and those mists have come in, enveloped your mind, enveloped your circumstances. Seek after the Lord. Wait patiently on Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Look for Him in His word, and you will find Him. The Lord said, "Ye shall seek for me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall seek for me with all your heart." May the Lord help us today to seek after Him and to find Him as Mary found the risen Lord on that first resurrection morning.